Now, tonight, inshallah, we want to discuss the real life in Barzakh. The first night, of course, was not the real life. It was just the process by which people started to enter the life of Barzakh. And after the first night, of course, we have the real life in Barzakh. So after these investigative angels, which are of course Nakir and Munkar or Bashir and Mubashir, they leave, the type of every individual's life is determined. Now, you remember we have three types of people. The very good ones who saw Bashir and Mubashir, the very evil ones who saw Nakir and Munkar, and the people in the middle who are the majority and they have not experienced anything, but they start their life despite that lack of experience in Barzakh. Now we have to see how these three different groups start their lives. Now, to explain the type of life in Barzakh is very difficult because the intensity of life there is much bigger and stronger than life we experience here. Anything we say about it is just an example. This world, as I said before, is just a dim shadow of life. And when we go to Barzakh, we see the exponential increase in the strength of life and maybe the dimensions of life that we are quite unaware of while we are in this world. However, one should not think that as soon as we arrive in Barzakh, now we are ready to meet God. No, there's a still long way to go. That's one step ahead, but of course, long way is still to go to be prepared to find the capacity to meet the Lord. So we have now come one step closer, but of course, one step of thousands of other steps that we have to take to be prepared for the meeting of the Lord. Now, as I said, the quality of life is different there. And therefore, whatever we say here is just examples. Now, if this is the case about Barzakh, you can just imagine what about hell and paradise. It's very, very difficult to actually explain or describe. And that's why in many different verses of the Quran, we have the example of what you see in paradise, the example of what you see in hell. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعَدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The example of the paradise is like فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِمَّاءٍ تَجْرِي فِيهَا تَجْرِي أَنْهَارٌ مِمَّاءٍ غَيْرَ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ تَأْمُهُ. Rivers of water, rivers of honey, rivers of milk, rivers of wine. You see there, well, this may be something which goes beyond our imagination. We cannot imagine it properly. Now, the soul in its mithali body is the swiftest thing in moving, relocating, ascending or descending from one place to another. Now you are placed in a very different situation. As Swedenborg puts it, you don't need to move. You just imagine where you want to be. Imagine a person, then you are with them. The movements are very swift, just like when you are sleeping. Like in your dreams, for example. In your dreams, you are at this moment, you are here. The next moment, you are in other part of the world. You can appear, disappear. This is how it works in Barzakh. Of course, it's not without rules and regulations. There are very, very strong and strict rules and regulations there for movements and everything. However, it's not like the movement that we know in this world. Also, interesting thing is that the souls experience health and sickness, viruses, microbes, we don't know. There are things that make the soul sick. and make the soul healthy, and they feel it. Just like, for example, we have a kidney problem. Of course, there are no kidneys in spiritual bodies, but there may be other problems there. So they experience that as well. I am actually bringing these from a very traditional Muslim scholars, Ibn al-Jawzi, who speaks about these things. This is very interesting, talking about health and sickness of the soul, the spiritual body of the soul. I'm not talking about the soul in its spirituality, they have shortcomings. No, no. That spiritual body, the mithali body, it is influenced by health and sickness. They feel far more pleasure and pain than they used to experience when they were joined to their physical bodies in this world. So you may think that since now we are moved to a spiritual arena, then pain, pleasure, joy, excitement, they don't exist anymore. No, they exist in a much stronger way for that mithali body and for the soul, which is now framed in that body. These souls are divided into various categories. Now, this is what Ibn al-Jawzi says, but this is exactly what Swedenborg also says, that he has witnessed this. There are souls which are free to move about wherever they want, and those who are confined, souls who can move up to the arsh and come back, and souls which are confined to a specific place. The souls who can move freely are like shuhada, for example. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Don't think that those who are killed in the way of God, they are dead, they are alive, they are being provided for by God, and they have absolute freedom to do whatever they want, whatever they wish there. And then there are souls who are confined in a place. There are ones that are celestial and those that are earthly and on a lower order. Now, you may say, what is earthly, what is celestial there? Because now we have moved to a different arena. What is the meaning of earth there? Yes, they are bound to this earth and what they used to experience here. The type of joy and sadness that they have is similar to what we have here. They cannot experience high spiritual pleasures that the other souls, which are celestial, which move high to the realm of higher angels, al-mala'ul a'la. There are some souls who can move to mala'ul a'la, but souls confined to the lower places. Hence, we can just conclude, they are subject to confinement and freedom, pain, punishment, sickness, grief, and various states of joy, rest, bliss, freedom, pleasure, all these things you will experience there. And it's there that you find the real meaning of excitement, real meaning of pleasure, real meaning of pain, real meaning of distress. Here, as I said, it's just a dim shadow of all these things that we experience. There, things are qualitatively different. Now, because of this, we have different types of life. Not all souls are in equal station and status in that arena. People in Barzakh are of different types, much more than we see in this world. Well, how many types of people we have in this world? We cannot count it. More of that we see in the world of Barzakh. The soul's faces, structure of body, and all these things vary and differ very much with each other. Their food and drink and dress. Now you may say, do they dress? Yes, of course, they have dressings. Just like when Allah describes when we go to paradise, that's the عليهم ثياب سندس خضر من استبرق. They wear fine clothes, and the color even is mentioned, green, fine green clothes from silk. And these are the things that if we have it in paradise, we have it in Barzakh as well. And their houses and furniture, of course. This is what is mentioned in paradise. You have it in Barzakh as well, the furniture. You shouldn't think that the souls live there in vacuum. They don't live in vacuum. They live in an environment, and that environment has been described for us. And usually when these are described, we just think these are metaphorical, spiritual. Spirits don't feel any of these things. And that's why we just pass from these traditions very quickly. However, these descriptions and explanations are alluding to something real. So, the food and drink and dress, their houses, furniture, their cities, neighborhoods, are of diverse and dissimilar kinds. So you can imagine just a huge community, global community of souls, so to speak, living in different countries, in different cities, different neighborhoods. How they are sent to these different places, we'll discuss now. How they are sent there. Are they sent there, or they are given permission to leave wherever they like? We'll discuss this shortly, inshallah. Now, what the prophets saw in Mi'raj was an indication of such diversity. Usually we think what prophets saw in Mi'raj was in the paradise and hell. It wasn't. It was in Barzakh. Because eventually the prophet reached paradise. And then, of course, it was just him and God. So what he saw were the people who were already living there in Barzakh. Now, look how some of these things are described by the Prophet. Of course, we have many, many different traditions with very graphic and sometimes interesting descriptions. However, I have chosen just one tradition which explains good people and bad people, how the Prophet saw them living in Barzakh, with different types of physical structure, actually. Now, he says, I passed by a people who had lips like camels, very thick and wide lips. Flesh was cut from their sides and was put in their mouths. This was their food. They were eating their own flesh. I asked Jibreel, who are these? He replied, these are slanderers and backbiters. Now, you may say that this is the way Allah punishes them. And you may say that this is how eventually their physical structure is influenced by their spiritual attitudes. They cannot stop doing this. And since there is no one there then that they can do this with, they do it with themselves. They cut their flesh and eat it. Because in this world they were cutting flesh of others, metaphorically, eating it. أَيُحَبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do one of you like to eat the dead flesh of your brother in backbiting? Now they can't find anyone there to do it. They do it with themselves. This is their habit. They cannot escape from it. Then he says that I then saw a group of people in whose mouths fire was poured, which was let out from their backs. Jibreel said that they were those who devoured what belonged to the orphans and the oppressed. And this is a sort of graphic description given in the Quran as well. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى لَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ Illa Nara. I then saw a people who could not stand up because of their huge bellies. Now look at this structure. Very funny physical structure. Jibreel said they were those who exacted riba. And of course they couldn't stand. They just, the moment they stood up, they fell again because of the weight of their bellies. Now they could not rise up, but like those deranged by the devil's touch, they continuously say, "Our Lord, when will the hour set in?" This is, of course, very explicit that this was being done in Barzakh. And although they knew, these people, although they knew that, or they know that the hour is more painful, وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ, the hour is more painful, they are in such a situation that they think any change would be better than what they are in. Then I saw women who were hung by their breasts. Jibreel said they were those women who had children from others and attributed them to their husbands. And of course, this is just a summarized version. There is a conversation from the Prophet. The Prophet asked, who are these? Why are these like that? And Jibreel explained it to them. On the other hand, he saw a very different type of people with very pleasant type of life. Just one, a couple of examples. We don't want to spend much time on this, of course, because no matter how much time we spend, there are lots and lots of descriptions on this. Then we ascended to the fifth heaven. Of course, he talks about the first heaven. Whatever was there was just the realm of the low category of souls, which were bound to the earth. They could not ascend to the first or second heavens, which are deeper layers of Barzakh, of course. Now, then the Prophet says, when we ascend to the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth heaven, and of course, in every heaven, he saw different good people there. He says, then we ascended to the fifth heaven, that's the fifth depth or high rank of Barzakh. I saw a middle-aged man with huge eyes. I never had seen anyone as awesome as him. Of course, this was the structure of his spiritual body. And he was surrounded by a large group of his people. They were so numerous that I was amazed. Who is this man? I asked Jibreel. And Jibreel said that this is Harun, son of Imran. So I greeted him and he greeted me. Now, just look at the emphasis. There were a huge number of people around him. Those who actually were with him in the fifth heaven, from his people. So this is not the place only for the prophets, for the good among the Jews who followed Harun as well. Then we ascended to the seventh heaven. I saw a man with hoary hairs and beard sitting on an armchair. I asked Jibreel, who is this man sitting on the gates of Baytul Ma'mur in the neighborhood of God? He said, this is your father Ibrahim. And this is your abode and the abode of the righteous among your ummah. Inshallah you. When inshallah you die, God forbid, inshallah, you will go to that seventh heaven around the Prophet and Prophet Ibrahim. And it's very interesting because in some other traditions we have that Prophet saw lots of children around Ibrahim. And Jibreel said, these are the children of your ummah who died at a very young age. Ibrahim here actually cares for them to train them and uplifts them to their final abode. So, I just gave this as an example of how different are the places where people live in Barzakh and how different their bodily structure would become. And of course, I will, inshallah, mention a few things given by Swedenborg as well. Now, the conclusion is that there is a specific type and a determined place for every different group in Barzakh. Not for every individual, although individuals are very different from each other as well, but we talk about groups, clusters of souls living in same places. Now, I repeat again, we have three types of souls. Those whose final judgment are made. And these are two types. One who are decreed to paradise and the others who are decreed to hell. That is just right from the beginning after death they face it. And these would go to their own places in Barzakh. Then there are people in the middle who are not decided about yet, and that's why they do not see the investigative angels, because their souls are not ready yet for those investigative angels, and therefore they are in the middle. So we are faced with three types of people. Those who go to paradise. Upon arriving to paradise, the soul is received by his or her relatives who are already in paradise. Now the first thing they, of course, the first people they meet, apart from the angels, the first people they meet are their relatives who come to greet them. And there are lots of hadith about this. One of the traditions that I have chosen here, it says, إِنَّ الْأَرْوَاحِ فِي صِفَةِ الْأَجْسَادِ فِي شَجَرَةٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ تَتَعَارَفْ وَتَسَاءَلْ وَتَتَسَاءَلْ. Maybe there's something wrong in spelling. So the arwah are like ajsad, the spirits, the souls are like bodies. As I said, they are spiritual bodies. They are not just paper or steam or something like that. So they are in their bodies. Fi shajaratin fil jannah, in a garden, in paradise. They know each other and they ask each other about things. فَإِذَا قَدَمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ قَدَمَتْ الرُّوحُ عَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ يَقُولْ دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا قَدْ أَفْلَتَتْ مِنْ حَوْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. When the newcomer soul goes in, they say, let him rest for a while now. He has entered the paradise. He has come from a very grave distress. Then they ask him, where is, for example, Hassan? Where is Ali? Where is Ali Akbar? Where is Ali Asghar? And if he says that they are still living, they will become very happy. Well, there is still hope, because they haven't joined us, and they may join us later. If he says that when I left they were dead, then everyone makes a sigh of sadness that, well, we have lost them. They have gone to either hell or to the middle place, middle range. There are certain things here. First of all, these souls are not very much aware of what's going on in this world. So they are in their paradise and they are enjoying their own lives. They don't know who's dead, who's alive. If a soul leaves this world and goes to a place different from their place, goes to a different country, they don't know about him or her. So when a living person dies and goes to them, they start to ask them. فَإِنْ قَالَتْ لَهُمْ تَرَكْتُ حَيًّا ارْتَجُوا. If he says, I left them alive, they have hope that they will come to them. And if he says that, فَإِنْ قَالَتْ لَهُمْ قَدْ حَلَكْ قَالُوا قَدْ هَوَى هَوَى. If he says that they are already dead, they say, wow, he has fallen. هَوَى هَوَى, he has fallen. It is fallen to the lower places of Barzakh. Now this hadith is in Al-Kafi by Kulayni, and there are many of this type of traditions about the people who are in paradise of Barzakh. The same thing would happen for those who are in the hell. When someone goes to hell, they may ask him, of course they have very bitter with each other there. They never welcome anyone. And it's كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Everyone enters, they start to curse the like of themselves. So the same thing happens there as well. They get the news and they know, for example, if someone is dead and has not arrived there, it means that he is in upper places in Barzakh. Now, after this happens, then they are allowed to roam in paradise. Go around. Go around and find their place. Now, I said that their grave became like a garden. However, he still doesn't know where this garden is in paradise. Where is the location of this garden? He goes and finds the location of his own garden there. It's a huge place. It's much bigger than our countries that we have. So he goes and finds the location. Now, how does he find this? He's allowed to roam in paradise. And these souls pass through different clusters of souls and different neighborhoods of paradise to find those who match with them better. So no one forces them that you have to live in this place because this is your amal, this is your place. No, it's not like that. Hereafter is actually the place of free choice, much more than what we have here. So they choose where they want to live. However, you may say, if they choose, why they don't choose the best place? Because why? Because they don't find it the best place. The best place is where they find familiarity and comfort with. And that is where their actions and inclinations tell them, this is the best place for you. So they go around, they find a place which matches better with them, and they know these people who match them from their appearance. They see, they look at their faces, they love them. And they say, this is the place I want to live. And he looks like them actually, or she looks like them. They look like each other. Why? Because their actions are very similar to each other. And whatever is inside appears outside. And things would find and attract each other. So they know these people from their appearance, as the exterior there indicates the interior. Because their bottom is very similar. Their faces are very similar. You think that they are born from the same parents. Although they have no relation with each other whatsoever, but you think that they are born from the same parents. Why? Because their faces now has turned to the similarity of their acts, which they had, and their inclinations. Now, as soon as he finds them, they seem familiar to him. They look as brothers and sisters born from the same parents. And he chooses his place there because no place seems more beautiful to him than that place. Now, at the end of Surah Zumar, we have a verse which is somehow confusing. After, of course, the angels tell to the good souls that enter paradise, they say, Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqana wa'adahu. Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqana wa'adahu wa awrathana al-ard. Natabawwa'u min al-jannati haythu nasha'. We praise the Lord who fulfilled his promise, gave us the earth, this earth of paradise. We live there wherever we wish. Wherever we wish, wherever we choose, نَتَبَوَّعُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. And this means that there is no fourth place for them. They choose where they want to live, and they choose what is more similar to their interior, to their batin. And that's why no one in paradise would be jealous of anyone else. Because everyone thinks that their place is the best place. They are much used. They are actually very entrenched in that sort of environment, which is shown to them actually roaming through the paradise. This is the verse. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعَدَهُ وأورثنا الأرض. In the same way, the soul who entered hell, he or she is received by his relatives, and they also roam through hell. And they find the best place, the best cluster, the best community, which suits them better. Of course, here we cannot say best, the worst community. Yes. We're just talking about Barzakh now, but it is the same in hell and paradise of Akhirah. Yes.
And they move up level. And they do this individually or as
collective? It's just like a train. Everyone moves together. So no one can come higher than their place. They all move while they are in their places. So there is no progress in the sense that one people can come and catch up with other people, because they all now... Now, all these emphases which are made about certain things to be done in this world, and certain things to be avoided in this world, are all because we form our shakala, and whatever comes after is because of that shakala, because of that structure of the soul that we have created. Allah just eases the way for us. He just eases the way for whatever we have made for ourselves. Now, what about the average souls? What happens to them? This was about the good ones and bad ones. The average souls, they also, well, as I said, they do not experience the investigative angels, and they do not go to heaven or hell, but to a middle space with a restricted type of life. That's why compared to those other two lives, it's like a sleep. But it's not a sleep, of course. Compared to our life, it's absolute wakefulness. And their pain and pleasure here depend on the quality and degree of their actions. Not everyone in the middle range live in the same way and with the same sort of pain or pleasure. Those who are better live a very comfortable life. Those who have been more evil live a very painful life, but not as painful as those who are in hell, and not as comfortable as those who are in paradise. They, of course, the purer ones have a hidden connection with the paradise in Barzakh, and the more evil ones have a kind of connection to the hell in Barzakh. And this is the hadith, again from Al-Kafi. These middle people, يُخَدُّ لَهُ خَدٌ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي الْمَغْرَبِ. A window will be opened to that paradise that Allah has created in the West. Now, this West and East are different things to explain. We may, inshallah, talk about directions in Barzakh. The paradise Allah has created in the West, and from that comfort comes into his grave until the day of judgment, when he will meet his account, بحسناته وسيئاته, good or evil acts, and then he either goes to paradise or goes to hell. So, although he is there, and this is very different from people of paradise, from whose grave a window is open to the paradise of Akhirah. This is not the same. This is a window open to the paradise of Barzakh. From there, comfort comes to their lives and to their selves. And the more evil ones have a hidden connection with the hell in Barzakh. And again, the hadith says that يُخَدُّ لَهُمْ خَدٌ إِلَى النَّارِ الَّتِي خَلَقَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ. A window will be opened to their graves from the fire that Allah has created in the east, And from there, the blaze or and the smoke of the fire will come in and make them very uncomfortable in that life of barzakh. They will also be received by their relatives in this region. Whoever is there will receive them as soon as they go to this place. Now, according to Emanuel Swedenborg, the souls in this region would go through three stages. This is very interesting. It's very interesting and very deep. Because Swedenborg says that from this middle range, people would either go to paradise or go to hell after a while. However, of course, we know according to our teaching, this is not possible. It may mean a window will open from paradise or from hell to these people. Now, three stages. The first stage is the stage of the exterior life. As soon as they leave, they live like the way they lived in this world. They are very much concerned about their exterior life, their relation with other people. They try to behave themselves, to hide certain things inside. They are very much worried about the way their face looks. As we are in this world. As we are in this world. We try to hide certain things from each other. We have secrets, all of us. And this is the way we continue if we go to this middle range for a while. He says this will last for several days or months. They cannot continue with this because the interior starts to show itself. As I said, the interior is not that strong to decide whether they have to go to hell or paradise. So it starts to show itself. And then we have this stage of the interior life. They start to act according to their nature now. They don't care about anyone. If they are evil, they start to shout at everyone, swear at people. If they are allowed, if they are not punished, because they will be punished if they try to aggress and transgress the limits, the laws. There are certain very strict laws that if they want to go beyond these laws, they'll be punished heavily by the angels. So that's why they are very much afraid. The only thing that keeps these people to show the absolute inner nature is this punishment. Not even the fear of punishment, because now they don't fear of anything. It's the actual punishment that stops them. And this is what happens in hell in the hereafter as well. You think that Allah would like to punish you. No, He doesn't. And that's why they say hell is a mercy of Allah. This is where Allah imprisons the evil ones, stops them from doing evil. Now, here is the same. They start to act according to their interior. Gradually, Swedenborg says, this is what he says that I have seen. Okay, whenever I say Swedenborg says, it means that he says, I have seen these things. He says, gradually their face changes and become more like their interior. The tone of their speaking changes. And they feel no restriction anymore. They are not concerned about anything, about exterior. And this, of course, lasts for longer periods until their interior will make them to enter hell, into hell. Or the good ones, if they are good and the interior starts showing itself and the good of the soul comes up, the faces will become brighter, more beautiful, and then they are prepared to go to paradise of barzakh. As I said, it may happen for certain souls, but usually it's just the windows from barzakh, paradise, opening to the grave. So he says, for these souls there is a third stage. They cannot enter paradise without some sort of tuition. There is a preparation period here. Because paradise is a place of wisdom and knowledge. And unless you have that wisdom, you cannot enter it. And therefore, after these souls show their interior and the interior is good, there is another stage where the angels come and start to teach these people wisdom so that they are prepared to enter the paradise. Now, forget about entering paradise and hell, because as I said, according to the teachings that we are given, it's very unlikely that people would move in this world, in the barzakh, to paradise and hell. They have to wait for the hereafter. But we may interpret what Swedenborg says as opening of a window to paradise, an opening of a window to hell. Now, those who are evil, when their interior shows itself, they go, the window is opened, and they see the hell, and the blaze is coming. Those who to whose grave a window from paradise is to open, they need preparation. Because even if it's open, they cannot understand. They need to be taught. And he says that even the evil ones, the angels are prepared to teach them, but they cannot understand. They don't learn. He says that, he gives this example of the that we have in the Quran, and in the Bible as well, that for them, the passage of a camel through eye of a needle is easier to teach these people the wisdom of paradise. They cannot learn because their nature does not accept it. No matter how strongly these angels try to teach them, they don't learn. So they move towards the hell, and these people, the good ones, they have a preparatory stage, and then they move to the paradise. Now, for those of you who want to read Immanuel Swedenborg, Heaven and Hell, Heaven and Its Wonders, and Hell from Things Heard and Seen, I've mentioned this before, the book is online. You can find it, otherwise it's very expensive to buy. For the good souls, leading from exterior to the interior is like waking from sleep or going from darkness to light. For the evil souls, it's the opposite. It's like from going to from light to darkness. And this happens in a gradual way in this stage of barzakh. For them, the preparation period is impossible, as I said. And according to Swedenborg, this is very interesting. He says that I have seen things which are very similar to what the Prophet saw in Mi'raj. Now, you may say how this man had this power to see and visit all these different things in barzakh. Well, Allah can give anyone whatever he wishes. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Now he says that I saw type of evil manifestations here. Each evil has a certain manifestation in that world of barzakh. For example, he says that selfishness, if you are selfish, it appears as acute stupidity. If you are selfish, you become like mad and stupid people there. Why? Because selfishness takes you away from paradise. قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَلَيْسَ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. You cannot have selfishness and takabbur here, and arrogance. And the farther you go from paradise, more stupid you will become, because wisdom is only found in paradise. If you go to hell, you see all people there are mad. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been placed there. So, he says stupid people, selfish people, look like very, very stupid. Because selfishness distances one from paradise, as I mentioned. And these are all, of course, the average souls I'm talking about. Those who add treachery to selfishness would seek the company of the most evil souls. They cannot help it. They go around to see which soul is most evil, and they want to group with them. Again, you see, it's nothing that God does. It's all you. وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تعملون. It's all whatever you used to do. Their stupidity goes beyond limits to the extent that they conspire to attack the paradise and destroy it. And that's why the angels stop them. In about the hell in hereafter, we have this verse that whenever they want to escape from hell, and they do, and they manage to escape. However, أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا, they are returning to it with more punishment. So they have this freedom, they have this capacity to conspire, to plan. It's not easy to go out of hell with all those gods and angels and these things, but they can plan and they can go out. But they are returned. And then they are punished so severely that they would not wish, or they would not even think of doing it for some while, but they do it again. كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا فِيهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. Whenever they do it, they are returned. When they act upon their thoughts, they will be punished. Of course, these thoughts. They want to go and destroy the paradise. They plan, they conspire, they come, and then they are stopped by angels and punished. And for those who are in paradise, you actually see the rahmah in this punishment. They don't see the rahmah in this punishment, but you see the rahmah in this punishment. That otherwise, they would have come and just taken you hostages and taken you to hell, isn't it? And they are very, very merciless sort of souls. Now, one question, then we leave the rest of these slides for next week. Is that punishment for what they do there? Or what they have already done in this world? I said they will be punished for whatever they conspire or they try to do. And it is not in, only in Barzakh, in hereafter it happens as well. So, because they want and to conspire and come and destroy the paradise, and it's not only the thought and conspiration, they act upon it. They really come close. And Swedenborg explains how they can come close. And how they can pretend that they are from the people of paradise and enter. He gives all these examples, but they are punished. Now, are these punishments because of what they do in Barzakh, or because of what they used to do in this world? My question to you. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There is no difference, actually. There's no difference. You do there the way you used to do here. This is your nature. You have created your nature. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَىٰ شَاكَلَةٍ. Everyone acts according to their nature, to the form they have created themselves. So, whenever Allah says that we punish, for example, in hell, you may say, well, we have done something here for a short while. Why should we be punished forever in hell? No, as soon as you change nature, you can come out of it. The point is that you continue doing things forever after your nature is formed. It's only by the grace of Allah that after certain process, you can come out of that trap, inshallah, as we are told that most of people will eventually come out of hell. You can come out of that trap. And then, of course, you would be taken to paradise, inshallah. Okay, when I say you, well, you are already there. I mean the people. Questions? Yes.
Sheikh, in the Quran, they talk about three different people. Ashab al-Hum, Ashab al-Yameen, and Ashab al-Shimal.
Yeah.
Is this a fourth group, or where does this fit in? The
average souls, Ashab al-Yameen, many of them are from the average souls. Ashab al-Shimal are the evil ones. They go to the hell of Barzakh straight away. Ashab al-Yameen, some of them join Sabiqun in that they go to paradise straight away. Now, of course, there are different paradises there. I will explain this. As I said, there are just like different countries. So many of Ashab al-Yameen may directly go to paradise in Barzakh, and that means forever they They know that they are going to paradise. Many of them may remain in the middle. Many of kuffar may remain in the middle. Many of polytheists may remain in the middle because of many different factors. And then eventually it will transpire. Now, Swedenborg gives a very, very nice description that the interior should show itself. And that may, he says it doesn't take more than a year, for example, as our years, but to come to the final decision, it may take until the day of judgment, that then they would show the actual interior, which would either have to go to hell or have to go to paradise. Yes?
Does it mean that these are provided by Allah Kun Fayakun, or do they have to work? Or
I don't know. Are there factories there, for example, to make fabrics? I don't know where they come from. I don't know. Swedenborg says that there are jobs there, but yeah, that and actually every soul is esteemed by the job they do. Unless people in hell, they have no jobs actually, they are just wanderers. But that job is sort of teaching others and helping others, not, for example, providing these dresses and foods and these things. Where they come from, I don't know. Nothing is mentioned. About Day of Judgment is mentioned. Somehow, I will not reveal it now. But about Barzakh, I haven't come across anything mentioning where these things come from. So your imagination could go to any direction that you wish. Yes.
One of the hadiths you mentioned was east and west in the mm-hmm. west in hell, I think, and east in hell.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of reason or what's the explanation of that?
These refer to directions in Barzakh. Nothing much has been provided to us as explanation how these directions work. Of course, Swedenborg gives pages of description of how direction works in Barzakh, but I really didn't understand what he says. It's very difficult to grasp what he says about what he has seen. He has seen these directions, but it's very difficult to understand what he wants to say. It's very difficult to understand Swedenborg because, first of all, you have to get used to his terminology. Otherwise, you absolutely think that this is a madman talking. When you get used to his terminology, then you realize that, no, he's talking sense. But certain places, it's very difficult to understand him. In our traditions, East and West are mentioned. The paradise in the East and the hell in the West, but no more explanation is given. Yeah.
Check as far as Swedenborg is concerned, I'm afraid I haven't done much background reading. Why are we giving so much weight to his words? And what background, where is he from? Why are we giving so much
weight? Why am I giving so much weight to his claims, so to speak? Because I found his description very close to our traditions. It actually gives them sort of life. And you realize this man could not have been a liar. You cannot make up these things. It's very difficult to make up these things. And you know that he was a very, very pure Christian, and he actually broke from his Christian tradition by saying that Trinity makes you mad, and people, I have seen people there believing in Trinity, they didn't know what direction they have to go, and they were wandering around, and actually he was ostracized from the church, and his followers now have established the new church, and they're mostly in the United States, and the website and everything they are providing, all his books are online. When you go through his writings, you find that there is some force and some truth in what he claims. Although still he follows Christian tradition, because usually what you witness is formed by your background understanding and thoughts. So he thinks in Christian way. But the things he says are very different from what the Christians say, are very close to the Quran and our traditions. So you believe him, actually. You believe that he is the one. So whatever I say about Swedenborg is just more explanations to the traditions. And you find all these things in traditions which have reached us. We know not all traditions have reached us anyhow. There's no taklif, but the good souls act according to their good nature, and evil souls act according to their evil natures. There are laws, of course, and if you want to break those laws, there will be punishments. However, good souls never, ever try to violate those laws, because this is against their nature. On the contrary, evil souls, they try to violate all those things, because they don't understand anything of taklif or anything like that. It's just acting according to nature. Now, the takalif in this world, this is a very interesting thing. The takalif in this world is to put us in the shape and form which is useful and which helps us in that. It actually tries to mold our soul into a certain mold which will benefit us on that day. Otherwise, their takalif, there's no use for them. Because no one would listen, anyhow. Yeah. Yes. Duties, religious duties. Religious duties.
Well, if there is going to be religious over there, then how are we supposed to earn that religion? Or is it coming automatically?
If there are what there, sorry?
Yeah.
They are provided according to your nature. Just according to your nature. It's something, well, in this world we think that we earn these things, while we don't. Again, they are provided for us. We just have some sort of dispute over the distribution of it. There, of course, there is no dispute over distribution, because they are distributed by someone else. So you don't fight each other for the distribution. Here we fight for distribution. Yes?
Yes, you said the average soul, they do not experience the investigative angel.
Yeah.
So does that mean there is no questioning by them after the day of judgment?
Or that yeah, that's what it means. That's what we get from many traditions. It's hard to accept. And if it was not for the Sheikh Mufid, who actually categorically mentioned his views according to these traditions, I would have actually doubted to mention that. Because traditions, you can say, okay, is it reliable, not reliable? It goes against the current understanding that every soul would meet Nakir and Munkar. But these traditions are very strong traditions, coming in books like Al-Kafi. And then we have the backing of the most famous Shiite theologian, Sheikh Mufid, saying that the average souls would not experience the questioning. So we are at rest until we go and see whether that's right or not, inshallah. So if you are in the middle, and suddenly you see Nakir and Munkar, don't say that Sheikh Bahmanpour was saying that you are not coming. Okay? See you next week, inshallah.